A Story with Pictures. A six-part thriller for radio by Colin Shaw. With Freddie Jones as Sir Marcus Martin. The sixth and final part, Coming Home.
It turned out that Stephen Emmett and Jane Fleming were the ones who had stolen Sir Marcus's collection of Goya sketches. When they finally owned up and returned the sketches, Sir Marcus was faced with the problem of getting them back to England from Amsterdam. Stephen's boat provided the answer, and he and Jane set off to catch the tide. As we prepared to leave the hotel, there was a knock on the door.
Mrs. Crossman hasn't wasted much time. Shall I open the door?
No, I'll do it. You go into the bedroom. Wait there.
Oh, all right, but be careful.
Ready, Marcus?
Yes.
Mr. Jorgens.
Ah, we weren't expecting you so early.
Oh, may I come in?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Sir Marcus.
Good afternoon.
Mrs. Somers isn't with you?
No, she went out to do some shopping.
What can I do for you, Mr. Jorgens?
I know we arranged the interview for later this afternoon, but I have had to commit myself to another appointment. I thought I might miss you unless you were free.
Unfortunately,
now.
I have to go out. I should be back by 4. It was 4 o'clock we arranged.
Yes, of course.
Mr. Jorgens, Mr. Lloyd and I ought to be leaving.
Of course, I mustn't keep you. I shall be back at 4 o'clock.
I shall look forward to seeing you.
Excuse me, then. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Well, what do you make of that?
Wait a minute. Helen, come out, quickly.
Well, what happened?
We'll give Jorgens a few moments to reach the lift. Then you go downstairs by the service lift. See what he does when he gets down there. Oh, and if he sees you, you've been shopping.
But I'm not carrying anything.
Then say everything was too expensive. Just use your imagination.
Okay.
Yes, that should be time enough. No, he's gone. There's no one by the lifts. Ready, Helen?
Yes.
Go on, down to the left.
Right.
What are you after, Tim?
I know we expected Mrs. Crossman last time, but I don't think she can be far away. It's my guess that Jorgens or Van Helder, or whatever his real name is, came here to stall. They must have known Stephen and Jane were here, so perhaps they hope to find all five of us together. But Stephen and Jane aren't here. Neither, apparently, is Helen. So, where are the sketches? I think our Mrs. Crossman will come here to find out. After all, we've hardly been very discreet with the box.
Damn! I left it there on the floor after we'd taken the sketches out.
That's all right. Jorgens doesn't know it's empty. However, if he knows what it contained, he'll tell Mrs. Crossman and she'll be here in no time. Ah, it's Helen. Helen, what's happened?
Tim, I couldn't see Jorgens at first. Then I looked across the street. He was talking to a man in a car.
What about the man in the lobby?
I can't see him anywhere. Oh, yes, I can. He's making conversation with the concierge.
Has he seen you?
I don't know.
Listen, can you see the lift from where you are?
Yes.
Now, wait until the doors open, then leave the phone and get into the lift as quickly as you can. With a bit of luck, you'll be out of sight before it's time to come after you.
Do you want me to come back to Sir Marcus's room?
Yes, as soon as you can.
The porter is outside, Sir Marcus, waiting for your luggage, and I have the taxi at the back entrance, as you asked.
That's very good of you. We've been extremely comfortable.
Very kind.
Thank you.
You understand, Sir Marcus sometimes prefers to travel without...
Mrs. Somers, I understand perfectly. To be so well known as Sir Marcus, it has disadvantages.
I think we should be going. The porter will have collected the luggage from the other room.
Yeah. Let me see. There. Yes, he is waiting, and your luggage, Mr. Lloyd, and Mrs. Somers, too. I will come downstairs with you, Sir Marcus. Please lead the way.
Yes, of course I will.
He said it was about 4:30. Here are the tickets.
We'd better keep our own, just in case. If we should get separated, we'll make our own way onto the aircraft.
All right.
Will you stay in London tonight?
Yes, it's too late to ask Horner to drive up to fetch us. You could go and telephone him, Helen. Warn him to collect us in the morning.
All right. Ah, there's a phone over there. I shan't be long.
Tell him Tim's coming with us.
Marcus.
I've taken a lot of decisions about the series. The shape's wrong.
Oh, God, Marcus, we can't unstitch it now.
Not completely, just here and there.
I know your heres and theres. Before you know, the whole thing will be in pieces.
No. It's nothing like that.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lloyd.
Inspector Coulthard. I didn't expect to see you here.
I thought it might be safer if I came. Where is Mrs. Summers?
She went to telephone.
Can you see her?
Yes, she's over there, in that line of booths.
Oh, yes. We must keep her in sight.
Do you mean that...
I mean that you have some fairly dangerous acquaintances, Mr. Lloyd.
But here, at the airport...
It is possible. As long as we have not caught them, they could be dangerous to you. We were very grateful for Mr. Lloyd's information about Mrs. Crossman, Miss Bauman, if you prefer. Even though we had reached the same conclusion a little earlier...
How much do you know?
Look. That man has knocked over Mr. Summers' case. Stay here. I'll just be a moment.
It's the box.
Mrs. Summers, are you all right?
Oh, Inspector. Yes, thank you. My case was knocked over, that's all. Nice man. He picked it up and apologized.
Oh, that's all right, then. Please, come and join your friends.
Yes, of course.
Now, I would prefer you to stay together until the plane leaves.
The inspector is afraid that Mrs. Crossman may try to stop us in some way. He knew already that she and Edith Bauman were the same person.
I told Sir Marcus and Mr. Lloyd that I could not add very much, but it seems that Mr. Cothers, the man we found on the houseboat, had two businesses. As a respectable dealer in dry goods and as a kind of art dealer.
You mean he was a fence?
Probably a fence as well. It appears that he and Mrs. Crossman worked together. She supplied the customers, he supplied the goods. Some forged, some stolen.
But why was he killed?
That we don't know yet. But there was probably a quarrel. We shall find out.
What about Mr. Crossman? Where did he fit in?
He was the go-between. Unless Mrs. Crossman came to Europe herself, he arranged the deals and made arrangements for the shipping of the goods. There was a travel agency involved providing cover.
Oh, Jane Fleming's.
Yes, Mrs. Summers.
There was a girl called... Tim, what was she called?
I don't know her name.
Please, I don't follow.
A friend of ours. She told us about a girl who was killed. She seemed to think Mrs. Crossman had killed her. The girl worked in a travel agency.
This friend of yours, where is she?
She's gone back to England now.
Why did she not report this?
I suspect she was frightened of Mrs. Crossman. Her instinct was to get out of it.
We shall have to speak to her.
I'll put you in touch, certainly, when we're all safely home.
I think we should find an office, Sir Marcus. For one thing, we shall be less conspicuous. And for another, I have a number of points to put down. Come, follow me. I know where we can go.
Rows 9 to 10, please. Please now board the aircraft. Rows 9 to 10, please.
Those are our seats. Sir Marcus?
I'm coming. Thank you, Inspector.
Thank you, Sir Marcus. I've warned the London police. I don't think you have any difficulties once you are home.
Ah.
And by then, I hope we shall have caught Mrs. Crossman.
Goodbye then, Inspector.
Goodbye, Inspector.
Goodbye.
Do you think there really was any danger?
I don't know.
What's the matter?
Well, with all this police solicitude, we could have carried the sketches through customs without any worries at all.
At least the boat's still there.
Yes, that's something. Look, Jane, take the case. Stow it somewhere safe.
Right.
I'll go and deal with the harbour master. We should have enough fuel on board.
Okay. All gone forward. Clear of the yacht.
No sign of Crossman?
No, thank God. I can't see anyone.
What's the time?
It's nearly 4:45.
Can you remember when we last ate?
No. It was yesterday, though, or apart from the coffee this morning. Let's get out to sea, and then I'll find out what there is below.
Well, how do you fancy going to jail?
Do you think it'll come to that?
If the police get hold of those photographs and anything else Crossman had on us, I don't see what else it could be.
Oh, God.
Well, we've got 2 days to ourselves. Let's make the most of it.
Market Leighton 5467? No, I'm Sir Marcus's secretary. I'm afraid he's busy at the moment. Oh, yes, certainly, Superintendent. No, the house was empty for a few hours yesterday morning. No, nothing. I see. Yes, well, I'll tell Sir Marcus. Thank you. Yes, we will. Goodbye.
Well?
Superintendent Rogers. He's had a message from the Dutch police.
Inspector Koefels? Oh,
he didn't say. He simply said the Dutch police. They say they think Mrs. Crossman may have left Holland.
Well, what did the superintendent say about that?
He thought we ought to keep a close watch on the house and tell the police if we see anything suspicious.
Well, we shall, shan't we? What's the time?
About 20 minutes after the last time you looked for Stephen's boat.
If he got away when he ought to have done, he should have been back this morning. Jane! What is it, Warner?
I thought you'd like to know. I've seen Mr. Emmett's boat.
Thank God for that. Thank you, Warner.
Will you take the car, sir?
No, it's time to walk. Warner, tell Mr. Lloyd to follow us down to the jetty. Helen, come with me.
I'm coming.
Good afternoon, Sir Marcus.
Good afternoon, Sam. Tim, have you met Sam Price? He and his father run the garage in the village. Mr. Lloyd.
I've seen you there once or twice.
Good afternoon. Have you come down to meet Mr. Emmett, then?
Yes. He has brought something over for me.
Brought something over for you?
Something. My own.
Oh, I see.
Hello, Marcus.
Hello, Stephen. It's taken you a long time.
I had a sail part of the way. Didn't want to take a chance on the fuel. I couldn't take any on before we left.
Ah. Hello, Jane.
Hello, Marcus. You got back safely, then?
Yes, no trouble at all.
Sam, make fast, will you? Here.
Right. Oh.
Oh.
Sorry, I missed
your
it.
Fingers.
It's not like you. Try again. Here.
Got it. Second time lucky.
Elian?
Hello.
You're just in time. Take this rope.
I have got it.
Just hold it. Sam will secure it in a moment.
All right.
Jane, have you got the case for Marcus?
Yes, I've got it here.
Then give it to him quickly. Oh. Let's get rid of it.
Marcus, can you reach?
I've got it. What's in there?
Explanations later. I'll go aboard if you want. You too, Marcus.
No. I want to get back to the house, and these two will come with me.
All right, please yourself. Marcus, you ought to know something first, though.
Well?
I think we were spotted about 5 hours ago. A light aircraft came over us 3 or 4 times. More than just curiosity, I'd say.
Thanks for the warning.
Maybe nothing, but I wouldn't count on it.
Nor would I. Come on, Tim, we'll walk back.
Right. Can I come on board?
I said so.
Those were the sketches you gave him.
How did you know?
I just knew. After all we've been through to get them, I'd risk my bloody neck.
I'll explain, I promise you, but later.
The police came round this morning.
The garage?
Aye, 2 of them. A sergeant and a super. My dad said he knew the sergeant. They asked a lot of questions. Where you'd gone to, how often you sailed.
What did you say?
Well, I said I didn't know very much.
Look, Sam, there's trouble. That's why I gave the sketches back to Sir Marcus.
What? You mean that he knows we took them?
Yes. Why don't you sit down? Jane, can you find some glasses? I think we could all have a drink.
I've done enough work for one day. My brain's addled.
You mean I've been winning too many of the arguments?
Marcus, if that is the start of another one, I'm going to bed.
What about you, Helen?
Oh, no, if you want to go on working.
My dear Helen, if you could see your face and hear the manifest lack of enthusiasm in every syllable... Off you go to bed.
I'll tell Warner we've gone up.
You can tell him I'll lock up. I'll go round the house before I go to bed.
All right.
Give the dogs a run.
Aren't you tired?
Not very. If you want to know what I'm really going to do, I'm going to look at the sketches again. Convince myself I've really got them back. I need reassurance.
Good night, then.
Good night. Oh,
There you are. Come along, that's all the walk you're getting tonight. In with you. Now then, where are you going to sleep? Upstairs? Or do you stay... Up, down! Get down! Better stay down here, you're wet. Oh, dear. It seems I've left the light on in the study. And I'd just better put it off, I suppose.
Come in, Sir Marcus. Close the door.
Mrs. Crossman, I imagine. Or is it Miss Borman?
I said close the door. You'd better bring the dogs in. We don't want to disturb anyone.
Dipsy, Winker, come here. Now lie down. Winker! You've been prompt, Mrs. Crossman.
Sit down, Sir Marcus.
Very well.
I heard this afternoon that the boat, Mr. Emmett's boat, was landing very soon.
And you guessed the sketches were on board?
As they weren't with you at the airport at Amsterdam, I guess that was what you had done. Given them back to Mr. Emmett.
Hmm.
Oh, I knew he'd seen you, of course.
But at the airport, how did you know about the sketches?
You gave the box to Mrs. Summers to carry, remember? She went to telephone. Someone in the next telephone booth, someone clumsy, knocked it over.
Ah.
It was obviously empty.
You were standing there.
Oh, no, not me. I respect Inspector Kuffles. He's very smart. But the fact that the box was empty was known to me within 5 minutes of that little accident taking place.
What if I said that the sketches were still in Holland, waiting to be collected on another occasion?
I wouldn't believe you. They're too important for whatever reason. They're too important for you to have left them there. No, they are in this house, somewhere, and I shall find them.
There are other people in the house?
Three. I watched the lights go out, one by one. The last at least 45 minutes ago, before you went for your walk, and I walked in through the front door. Now, Sir Marcus, where are the sketches? I do have a gun.
Yes, yes. Did you shoot the man on the houseboat? I understand the police have not been able to establish whether he was dead before the fire started.
I didn't kill him, Sir Marcus. I wasn't even in Holland. I went to Holland because he was killed. Not to kill him.
Why was he killed?
He was greedy. If I'd been there, I'd have kept him in line. I'd done it before. He was always trying to increase his own take. But he was too good to lose, so I had to keep him in line.
Hmm.
Now, Sir Marcus, I want those sketches.
Yes, I understand. What do you want them for? Do you have a customer for them?
Yes, I have a customer.
And who is that?
Myself. I want them, Sir Marcus, just as you did.
I did a great deal to preserve them.
So did my father.
If I hadn't found them in Munich after the war...
If my father hadn't brought them out of Spain...
There were no more his sketches than mine. I had them first, that was all.
My father found them in Spain.
He took them from me in Spain.
You're lying!
They were given to me for safekeeping by a priest.
My mother told me what happened. What you did after the war was barbarous.
I thought they should be saved.
They are my sketches. My father wanted it. He wanted the family to have them.
Do your family, do your brothers know? The lawyer in New York, the dentist in San Francisco, do they know what their sister does in Europe?
Sir Marcus, I could shoot you and be out of this house before anyone could get downstairs.
Leave without the sketches?
You're very fond of your dogs, aren't you?
Yes.
Suppose that, instead of shooting you, I shot them. First that one, and then the other. Will you tell me where the sketches are now?
You accuse me of being barbarous, of behaving like a vandal.
My gun has a silencer. Are the sketches worth more to you than the dogs?
No. No sketches would be. They aren't valued in money. But I think you understand that. By God, I believe you do.
Give me the sketches.
Here, take my keys. The sketches are in my desk over there.
Which is the key?
The top is open. The sketches are in a drawer at the back. The key with the decoration on it.
Throw me the keys, then. Ah, thank you. Is this where you've always kept them?
No, I had a room for them upstairs. Count them if you wish. They're all there.
Good. Now come over here. You will pick up the briefcase and put the sketches into it. And then you will walk back in front of me with the briefcase to my car at the foot of the drive.
Marcus, what's happened? I heard a car starting up, and when I came down, the front door was wide open.
I had a visitor.
Who was it?
Mrs. Crossman. She came for the sketches.
Mrs. Crossman?
She made me carry the sketches to the car.
She's taken them?
Yes.
Are you going to ring the police? The woman's a murderess.
Well, she cut the telephone line.
Well, we can drive into the village and telephone from there. Jim will take you.
Yes, come on.
Jim, it doesn't matter. I'm quite glad to be rid of them, really. They weren't doing any good here.
But, Marcus...
Tim, lock up, will you? It's a bit like locking the stable door. Still, lock up anyway.
Yes.
I'll see you both in the morning. Karen!
Excuse me, Sir Marcus, but there's a Superintendent Rogers asking if he can see you.
Yes. Yes, ask him to come in.
Very good, sir. This way, Superintendent.
Thank you. Good morning, Sir Marcus.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm sorry to disturb you.
Sit down, please, Superintendent. Thank you, Warder.
Thank you, sir.
This... my secretary, Mrs. Summers, and Mr. Lloyd, a colleague of mine.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I thought I should let you know, Sir Marcus, in view of the warnings from the Dutch police, that we found Mrs. Crossman, otherwise Edith Bowman.
You've found her?
Yes, sir. Someone reported a woman trying to get a lift the other side of Boston. There was a wrecked car not far away. Looked like the woman had come out of it.
Not hurt?
No, apparently not, sir. A little dishevelled. One sleeve, torn in her coat, that sort of thing.
Mrs. Crossman?
Well, luckily, one of our patrols was quite close. So when we got the report, we went after the woman. But she started walking. She didn't seem to want a lift after all. But she fitted the description, and the lads took her in. There weren't another vehicle involved, or if there was, it wasn't there anymore. No signs of a collision. Just seems she took a bend too fast.
Lucky to be alive.
Yeah, I'd say so, sir. Especially as, according to the first reports... someone had had a go at the brakes.
What do you mean?
Well, it is only a first report, mind you. But it seems that someone had interfered with the brakes. Cut through them, at least partly. And then when a real strain was applied to them, they wouldn't hold the car, naturally.
But I don't understand why...
Yeah, well, it is a bit of a mystery, ma'am.
Mm. The car didn't catch fire, did it?
No, I don't think so, sir. No, sir, I didn't hear anything about a fire. Why do you ask?
No particular reason. Superintendent, it's very good of you to have come all this way.
Well, sir, I did have one question to put to you.
Ah, yes.
There was a briefcase in the car, sir. It was found intact, so obviously there was no fire. It had your name stamped inside the lid.
My name?
A black briefcase, one of the square kind.
Oh, yes. Well, I... have such a briefcase, but...
Mrs. Crossman was apparently travelling away from this direction.
So
you mean that she could have been here?
Well, it looks possible, sir. But you didn't see her, any of you?
No.
Mrs. Summers?
No.
But why go to the trouble of... was there anything in it, Superintendent?
No, sir. It was quite empty, so I'm told.
How empty was it? Remarkable.
Sir?
Fortunate. How very fortunate that it was empty. I usually keep papers in it, so if she did take it, how fortunate that there was nothing in it at the time.
Well, I dare say she'll offer some explanation in due time. Why she came here and apparently simply went away again.
Yes.
Something frightened her off, perhaps. Yes, I expect that's it. Well, you've had a lucky escape, all of you.
Yes, yes.
Well, then, I mustn't keep you.
How good of you to come.
Well, I was on my way to see a neighbour of yours, as a matter of fact.
Yes?
Mr. Emmett. Ah, just a routine matter. Good morning, Sir Marcus.
Good morning, Superintendent. Helen, take the Superintendent to the door.
Oh, yes, of course. This way, Superintendent. Yes.
Well,
Marcus, what
if you're going to ask me what I think you're going to ask.
Marcus, did you know Edith Crossman was waiting for you in the house last night?
Yes.
Because you'd found her car when you were walking the dogs.
That is a question I am not going to answer. It is much better that you should not know.
Helen, has he gone?
Yes, he's gone. Driven away by a sergeant. Poor Stephen. What will you do about the sketches, Marcus?
There is, fortunately, nothing I can do. They do not seem to have been destroyed. Edith Crossman does not seem to have them. I hope some upstanding citizen will hand them over to the authorities. On the other hand, I hope he may keep them for himself. There's something to be said for that, you know. Something to be said for that. Now, are we going to begin work? Tim, Helen, come along. I feel like a hard day's work.
That was the final part of A Story with Pictures by Colin Shaw. Sir Marcus Martin was played by Freddie Jones, Helen Summers, Kate Binchy, Tim Lloyd, James Bryce, Stephen Emmett, Nigel Anthony, and Jane Fleming, Amanda Murray. Stephen Garlick was Sam Price, Nigel Graham, Van Helder, Steve Eubles, Inspector Kofels, Maxine Howe, Edith Bowman, and Alex Jennings, Superintendent Rogers. Warner was played by Michael Bilton, and the hotel manager, Jeffrey Collins. A Story with Pictures was directed by Michael Heffernan.